Armstrong Williams. I'm involved in hotel ownership in Europe. We own portfolios of real estate in Washington, D.C., around the world. I'm also a broadcast owner where we own TV stations in the United States, and we also produce content programming that airs all over the world. I've had an opportunity in my life to sit down with people like Nelson Mandela, Donald Trump, George Bush, Naomi Judd, Puff Daddy, Norman Lear, and the list just goes on.
Yeah, you certainly know a lot of players in this world. So we have a question from Andre. And Andre, you had a really interesting question. You can go ahead and unmute to ask whenever you're ready.
Hi, what college did you go to?
South Carolina State College in Orangeburg, South Carolina.
And can you talk to the kids a little bit about your background? Because you came from very humble beginnings and essentially rose very high in your field.
Well, I would not call them humble beginnings. I would call them less beginnings. My story is certainly not one of rags to blessings of wealth, and certainly not one of poverty, because we grew up on my parents' ranch, which is a 200-acre ranch, which still remains in the family today. We work hard from sunrise to sundown. Discipline, sacrifice, work ethic, planning, loyalty to ability to understand how to plant a garden and how to make it grow. We certainly never had to worry about food and education, because any of us who graduated from high school and wanted to go to college, my parents paid it out of their pockets. Certainly was not through no grants. My parents could afford to pay out college. And also, when we graduated from college, we had no debt. So I certainly not in terms of the typical stories that you normally hear, the American story that you love, rags to riches. It's certainly not my story. I always grew up in sort of an affluent family and a blessed family. And plus, I had my mother and father, which were my best friends in the world. Had a wonderful relationship with my father, no strife. He always had my back. My mother, who helped develop my moral compass, my sense of right from wrong, my compassion, the importance of philanthropy, of giving back to others, because you cannot empower others without empowering yourself.
Well, thank you for giving back to us today and donating some of your time to help inspire and educate so many kids around the world. We have Isaline. And Isaline, you had a really great question. This kind of piggybacks off of what Mr. Williams was just talking about. Go ahead and unmute to ask.
So, hello. Our question is, what were your motivation?
What is my motivation? I have to tell you something. My parents were incredible role models. My parents, there was never any doubt of how much our parents loved us and the pride they instilled in us. And I think one of the best gifts our parents gave us was a good name. I remember we could go to stores on our own and sort of fidgety in hand before the store owner, trying to get things on consignment. And the first thing they would ask, boy, who's your daddy and mama? And I would proudly stand up and say, my father and mother's James and Thelma Williams. And once they heard the name, they were more than happy to let us have stuff on consignment, come back and pay later. So having a good name was always important. And because my parents, my father didn't go beyond the third grade and my mother did not go beyond the sixth grade, because they emphasized learning, they emphasized reading, they emphasized preparing for the next generation, making the way better for your brothers and sisters. I never wanted to disappoint my parents. I wanted them to be proud of me. And so my motivation has always been is to take what they gave us, particularly when they grew up in an era of segregation, of bigotry, and some harsh conditions, for them to be able to take 8 boys and 2 girls and to develop them into men and women who eventually became contributing citizens to this country and the world, to me is something that I will always be proud of. So my motivation is always to continue the good name and the character and the values that my parents instilled in us until that day I close my eyes and I'm no longer here and I pass it on to the next generation.
Those are some poignant and very, very wise words. We have a question from Manuela. Go ahead, Manuela.
Hi, when did you know that you wanted to dedicate yourself to the television and the public?
I never knew. You know, never crossed my mind. In fact, my father, I always wanted to be a writer. I wanted to write books. I thought maybe one day I wanted to run for office. But my father always told me as a young boy that if I did not become an author, and I have, I've written many books. Thank God for that, I've written many books. But running for office, my father felt that my gifts were more in the marketplace, that I was a businessman. I never saw that myself. I never saw it. But you know, parents can always see into you what you can't see in yourself. And what they do when they realize that you have gifts and talents, they pour into you more and grow that area where you have those gifts. So my father, I learned at his knee, entrepreneurship, paying the workers, balancing the checkbook, balancing all the different kind of aspects of the farm, understanding the crop, understanding the swine, understanding the livestock, understanding the just so many things, the soya beans that you have to manage when it was planted, when you need to harvest it, whether you had a bad crop comparing years to years. So it sort of got me into a business frame mind. I never really enjoyed it, but you know, so my trajectory was, you know, I was involved in car dealerships, Tower World, Disney as an investor in California early on. I was involved in Toyota dealerships, and then I got involved in the hotel business, and I was fortunate enough to have saved real capital, because buying television stations, that is really cash intensive. It is bloody expensive. And so there was this opportunity that came along. It was called the Barrington broadcast deal about 14 or 15 years ago, where a very dear friend of mine who's huge in the broadcasting world, David Smith, who owns Sinclair Broadcasting Group, had this opportunity where they had to divest of some of the stations so they would not have a duopoly in the same market, because it's something that the FCC does not allow. And one of the stations was an ABC affiliate in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, where I grew up. And he said, what if you could own the television station that you literally grew up watching with your family in your hometown? And I said, oh my God, imagine owning the local television station where you grew up. And so that gave me my footprint into the broadcast. And not only did I buy my local station in Myrtle Beach, I also bought the NBC affiliate in Flint, Michigan. And that began my rise and my trajectory in the television space.
Also, it's super exciting for all of us to hear about that. And you talk about diversifying your portfolio quite a bit throughout the years, which is really exciting. This question comes from Alfredo, and he is in Spain. Alfredo, you should be able to unmute. You had a pretty good question, my friend.
Hello, Mr. Williams. As you said previously, you know some important people around the world, and who's the person you were most excited to interview?
Alfredo, where are you in Spain?
We don't know. They're just somewhere in Spain. So we have some students in Barcelona and Catalonia, all over.
Mandela, no question. Sitting down with Mr. Mandela was really a high point, because his story really moved me. And also sitting down with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel at his offices in the Knesset had an impact on me. And also sitting down with Donald Trump when he was president of the United States, because I was sort of uneasy as to how the interview would go. Could I keep him focused? Would he just be all over the place? And it happened to be a very good interview where it was very substantive. And he himself said it was probably one of the better and most disciplined interviews that he had. So those are, definitely high watermarks. And also interviewing Justice Clarence Thomas, who was on the US Supreme Court. That was a high marker for me as well. And so, you know, those interviews certainly leave an impression upon you about leadership, about character, and that at the end of the day, we all have far more in common than we could ever imagine.
And we're in a sitting in a global classroom right now, so that definitely is very poignant. We have a couple more questions and we'll let you go. This is Claudia, and Claudia is over in Europe as well. Claudia, you had an awesome question. Go ahead and unmute to ask whenever you're ready.
Yeah, hello, good evening here in Spain. I'm from Madrid, and I have a question for you, Mr. Williams. Is it, do you think you could have gotten to where you are without the support of your parents?
You know, I don't ever have to even wonder, because for me, it would be impossible. And you know, I want to say something that I think would be very, very relatable to the impact that my parents continue to have on me today, even though they both are deceased. You know, when I grew up, it was in a different era. My parents did not like alcohol, they did not like smoking, they did not like drugs, they did not even like profanity. They were very heavy into the church. Of course, you know, as a kid, I'm gonna rebel. You know, what we do as young people. But anyhow, my parents had such an impact on me as a kid that I've never in my life drank any kind of alcoholic beverage, beer, wine, never tasted it. I've never smoked any kind of cigarette and ever been exposed to any kind of drugs. And I've never used one word of profanity in my entire life. It has little to do with me, but because I have such a compulsive personality, I'm either all in, all out. I have the kind of personality where it would be very easy for me to become addicted to something, the way my personality is. And one of the things that my parents gave me at an early age, that ultimately we make the choices for our lives. Our parents can tell us whatever they want to tell us. They can set the best example. But in the end, we all have free will to choose our friends, to choose our drug of choice. My drug of choice is getting up 4 o'clock in the morning and running 6 miles, 5 days a week. That is an addiction for me, but it's also a drug because I've got to have it. My drug is also reading books, because I need to be fed. I need to learn something new every week, because if you're not learning, you're dying. So I choose a different kind of drug, and it's because of my parents, because of them, and because I don't drink and don't smoke, I think it protects me from certain things that I could have gotten involved in, that could have interrupted my success, that I could have interrupted my relationship. So my parents instilling that example in me, and my continually to choose it for myself, has made me into the person that I am today.
And, you know, we'll go with one more question. And, you know, this is actually, is it okay if we go with two more student questions?
Whatever you need, I'm yes, yours. Sir.
So Victor.
Guys, seal, deliver. I'm yours for now.
You're good, sir. Victor, go ahead and unmute. You had a good question, friend.
Yes. Which career did you study? I am from Spain.
Economics and English. I always liked math. I always loved history. And I was always good with numbers. And so I always like to understand how economies of the world work. I don't think it's just about what goes on in America. I think you need to know what goes on all over the world. I have traveled to 130 some different countries in my life. I am able to pick up on that language very quickly. I think it's very important learning other languages so you can relate to other cultures. I think it's very important before you travel to a country, you can put in a tape to learn so much about the culture. Sometimes I'll pick up a book and read. We were in Istanbul, Turkey last year. We were in Budapest the year before. We're gonna be in New Zealand soon. And what I will do, I immerse myself in the culture. I wanna learn about the people. I don't wanna be isolated. I wanna go to the markets. I want to go to places I would not normally go, to the flea market and just learn about people, because I think it's so important to learn about people, because when you learn about people, you learn about yourself, and you're not naive, you're not isolated, and most importantly, you're not really ignorant of someone else's culture.
That's great advice, especially in such a global kind of world that we live in today. We have a question from Aymar, and Aymar is in France. Aymar, you should be able to unmute your question regarding crypto.
So, what's your view on cryptocurrency and the future of currency and digital currency?
You know, I just wrote, and I'm sorry, I just got to respond to my office here.
You're fine.
I just wrote a piece on crypto, You guys should just Google me. It's like Armstrong is my handler. It's at A Right Side, like at A Right Side, just the way it sounds. ARIGHTSIDE. You know, the crypto market, cryptocurrency market, I believe, will more than triple by 2030, and it may hit a valuation of about $30 billion. There's so many different forms of crypto, the Bitcoins, the Ethereum, I play myself. And whether you buy into it or not, investors, businesses, and brands simply cannot ignore it. I know some people say it's a currency of the cartel, it's a currency of smugglers. There have been so many that have sort of dismissed what crypto is, but crypto can't seem to escape paradoxes anywhere. And I believe that it's not going anywhere. I think it's going to be a very serious currency in the future, but I ask you to move with caution because you need to do your homework. But I certainly believe that crypto is here to stay.
That's solid advice. And especially with everything being so new and digital, and you know, we really appreciate that advice. We have a question from William, and William is in the Caribbean. William, you had two questions. Go ahead and ask whenever you're ready, friend.
Okay, so good morning. It's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Williams. Do you think you're at your best now? If so, do you think you can rise higher? And also, my second question is, what advice would you give to someone who wants to be like you?
You know, here's the humbling thing about life. I think my greatest joy has come in the struggle. I learned the most about myself. What I'm capable of is when I struggle. Whether it's negotiating a business deal that doesn't always work out, whether it's a relationship that has been toxic, and just how do you find a way to make that relationship work or come to the conclusion that this relationship is not going to ever work, that realize as much power that you may think that you may have, you really just don't have it. Because listen, you only have power over yourself, not someone else. And in the end, no matter how much you may love someone or respect them or want to trust them, in the end, they make choices too. They not always be in line with your value system. And sometimes you just got to let go and move on. And so I think when you're willing to realize that you don't know everything, that we can learn from someone. I can speak to a homeless person on the street and have a conversation, and they answer a question I've been in search of for the last several weeks. Or some mornings I can be out running and jogging and the wind can just blow. And you say, oh my God, where did that come from? And all of a sudden, everything you've been trying to figure out just crystallizes in your mind. Sometimes you can hear a bird chirp, like the orchestra in the morning when you run, or you can hear a baby cry and the answer is there. What I'm saying here is that everyone has a value. You should never disregard, or disrespect, ignore, or be unfriendly to anyone, because you never know how and where and when you will meet that person and will need them in your life again. It's funny how life comes full circle, how closely connected we are, even though we're on this Zoom today in all these different countries, we are more closely connected than you can imagine. Because I believe this, I believe that while the physical body may meet like this, I do believe there are places where our souls have met people before. And it is why I have a strong moral compass, a strong faith, because I believe there's something greater than myself. It keeps me humble. And if you're willing to be open, if you're willing to be open to new ideas, you can learn. Because what I seek is the truth. And no matter what I may have invested in my philosophy and my ideas, if I met you on the street, a stranger, and you gave me a higher truth, which I know that was true, I would abandon whatever I believed and whatever I invested into it for that higher truth. And so you gotta be open to change. You gotta be open that sometimes you may have a wrong perspective and it can be better. It may be imperfect, but you can make it better by willing to open yourself up and listen to other people, because there's other people is how we grow each other when we're open to other ideas, new innovations, and another way of looking at things.
That's a great perspective, especially in such a global world we live in today, and being open to each other's ideas. And we'll go with the final student question, and this comes from Matteo, and he is in Italy. Matteo, you should be able to unmute, and you can ask.
Good morning, first of all, Mr. Armstrong. My question is, when you was a child, what did you dream, maybe as a worker in the future? What is your dream? What was your dream?
You know, it's fascinating. I'm not necessarily one to dream. I'm one to build. I'm one to innovate, to create. And then whatever I'm doing is the reality of my life. It is a funny thing. When you grow something, something always grows from it. But also, when something grows, something also dies. And sometimes something cannot grow unless something dies. And so what I try to do is I look at others, and there are certain characteristics that I like. And maybe I want to take that characteristic, because remember, we all have this toolbox, and we're always trying to add new tools to the toolbox. And I may see one of you, and I say, oh, I like that. I want to take that and put it in my toolbox. But I never want the whole of you, because I can always be myself. I never wanted to be anybody else but me. No matter what my life has been like, no matter what I've experienced, I feel I've had the best life, and my life has worked for me. But in terms of picking up different tools from different people, different things that, like I enjoy the wood shop. On weekends for the last 12 years, I'm in the wood shop building furniture, whether it's a kitchen table, whether it's a coffee table, whether it's cabinets for the bathroom, whether it's legs for a table, whether I'm building a special effect for my gardens, whether I'm building cabinet doors. My father always told me that men need to smell dust. They need to get their hands dirty. And out of mind is the devil's workshop. And so I'm always working. I'm always building. I'm always trying something new, something innovative to test my skills. And it's amazing if you're willing to take the risk, how tremendous the rewards will be, only if you're willing to take the risk. And the greater the risk, the greater the reward. So in terms of dreaming, my dreams are more reality of what I'm willing to build, what I'm willing to, because I don't think we create anything. It's already created by the creator. All we can do is rediscover it, perfect it a little more, and pass it on to generations and generations to come. So I'm fortunate enough to believe that if I tinker with something long enough, I can become pretty good at it. I don't need to become an expert at it, but I can become pretty good at it. Just like this weekend at the horse races. It was the Preakness. My family and I were at the Preakness. And the last race, the Preakness, everybody betting on the horse. And sometimes I gamble because I love the horses. And this weekend, we were able to do the box, exacta, trifecta, the 2, the 5, the 8, just by studying the horses. I've been studying the horses for 2 or 3 weeks. And literally, those horses came in as the box, trifecta, exacta. And we won a little mini fortune just by focusing, believing that if I study hard enough, study the horses, study the surfaces, study the jockeys, study the weather conditions, and just a little nuances that I can master that and win that race. And we did. And it built my ego like you would not believe. I was walking around. I was so proud of myself because I said, oh, my God. And what that does, build real self-esteem, real confidence that if you're willing to take the risk, sometimes it pays off.
That's some exciting stuff right there. So before we let you go, because I know it's getting late for some of the kids around the world, the final question comes from here in America, and we want to know if you could give any advice out to these kids as they go off into the world and figure out what they want to do, whether it's if they want to be authors like yourself, or they want to be talk show hosts or entrepreneurs, or something completely different. As a leader in your field, what kind of advice would you give to these kids?
Well, you know, listen, all I can do is share experience. You got to have fun along the way. You can't always be too serious. You got to have fun. You got to dance a little bit. Yeah, you got to have relationships. Relationships are very important. I always believe this. You got to have something to do, someone to love, and something to look forward to, and something to believe in greater than yourself. I think those four things are very important. You got to be committed, and sort of through commitment, you can gain the motivation that is needed to pursue the success that you have. in life. And it's got to be your goal and ambition, not just because somebody else is doing it. You want to do it for yourself. You got to have a passion for it. You got to wake up in the morning thinking about it. You got to go to bed thinking about it. Another thing you got to do, you really got to take care of your health. You got to be very careful what you put in your body, okay? Whether it's drugs or alcohol, you have to be very careful, because remember, you're not going to always be young. Someday, you know, when every second, just in the last 10 or 20 minutes that we've spoken, you're 20 minutes older than you were 20 minutes ago. So life, the clock never stops. You may seem young today, but it changes so fast. Because if you take care of your bodies, you take care of your health, you make the best choices while you're young, the body rewards you later in life. So you gotta take care of your health. And you gotta think positive. You gotta reinforce yourself. You don't wanna be around negative people. You just don't. Because the people you share your space with, whether you like it or not, they're influencing you and you're influencing them. There's just no way around it. Whatever you have around you, they're taking something from you. And you got to get rid of distractions. You got to get rid of distractions. Something distracting you, keeping from you from your goal, keeping you from being serious, you got to remove it. And listen, and you got to believe in yourself. There's a difference between ordinary and extraordinary. It's that little extra. And what you need is that little extra to be extraordinary, not just ordinary. Everybody can be ordinary, okay? But you want to have that little extra. And where does that little extra comes from? It comes from how you define your character, who you are, where you respect yourself, where you realize that if you work hard, you may not see the fruits of it in the beginning, but remember, hard work, discipline, and sacrifice pays off. It has worked for me. And listen, you got to respect your parents. You got to honor the adults in your life. And listen, you've got to always show honor and sort of a kind of commitment to those that mentor you and bring you along the way. Showing a helping hand, whether it's mowing somebody's lawn, whether it's opening the door for someone, whether it's if there's an old person and everything is filled and you have your seat, you get up and give that person your seat out of respect, because you know someday that's going to be you. Having compassion and sensitivity for others is very important. It's not always about the money, because let me tell you something. Money does not fulfill you. Money does not give me my happiness and my joy. This does not come from money. It comes from what I do in the smallest of ways. There's some of the things I do. A conversation along the street, responding to someone's letter, sometimes with a handwritten note, which is much easier to just send a little tweet. It's simple, but sometimes you have to touch the heart, because listen, it's all about how someone makes you feel and continue to make you feel along the way.
That's phenomenal advice. And we can't thank you enough for spending time with us today and inspiring and educating so many students around the world. I'm going to end the meeting for all in a second, but before I do, I'm going to ask everyone to unmute. And can we all together say thank you to Armstrong for taking
time? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.